in Galatians 2 and 20, the great apostle Paul, speaking of this transformation, of this calling, of this conversion, of this choosing us and bringing us out of the world through the grace of Jesus Christ, that we could be taken out of this present evil world and live for the glory of God. Here's the way. Well, we need to recognize here some of the steps that we take to get out of that present world, because when the Lord calls us out, we are set free. We have escaped the pollutions of the world. We need to recognize what God has called us into and where we're going. But the thing about it is, the cross of Christ identifies us with those that have been called out. So the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Then in Galatians 6:14 he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified to the world. That means to this world's fashion, the world's social order, the world's pagan customs and heathen ways. God's delivered me from it. I'm crucified through the cross of Christ to the world, and the world is crucified to me, because everything that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world, and God will not accept it, for the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the world will not coexist in a life that's filled with love for worldliness and world conformity. There's no coexistence, as Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. For no man can love two masters. He'll either love the one and hate the other. He'll cling to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. Again, the scripture says in James 4:4, here is the brother of Jesus Christ writing to the saints. He said to those who have been become, well, they have acquiesced to worldly fashions and customs, and they've leaned over toward the worldly systems, and they've been involved into the social order of the world. Here's what he calls them. He said, you adulteresses and adulterers, don't you know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? Don't you know that if you get out here and you concede that this worldly system is the order for a Christian lifestyle, don't you know that you're an enemy of God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, that is to be a friend of the worldly system, its fashions and social order, is an enemy of God. And I'll tell you, even in the church today and among the preachers and professing Christians, God has many enemies that are roaring in the congregation of the saints of God today. Jesus said in Luke the 16th chapter, beginning here, well, it was sort of upbraiding the Pharisees, the people who claimed to be the holiness people of his day. Beginning in verse 13, Luke 16, he said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Impossible. And the Pharisees also. This was the most prominent church group of his day, who were covetous, that means idolatrous. They heard all these things, and they derided him. Jesus was a much maligned man, a prophet. He was derided. He was, he was always accosted by these professors of being godly with great malice and great ferocity in their rejection of his message that he brought from the Lord. They were always bristling with hostility to the message of Jesus Christ. And it's still the same in the church today, beloved. And Jesus said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. If the world goes for it, then label it rejected by the Lord, in other words. Anything the world goes and hoops and hollers and accepts and rejoices in and gets out here and makes an idolatrous cause out of it, let me tell you, you can just mark it down that God rejects it. And you're doing something or looking at something or accepting something or enjoying something that God condemns as being worldly, and your love for that will make God leave your heart. He won't stay in the heart with your great love for something that's of the world. So we need to realize that. You might justify yourselves like the Pharisees and says, oh, well, God understands, and, you know, he knows I don't really love it. But he says, hey, you're they that justify yourselves, but God knoweth your hearts. And really is saying that I see the love of the world in your heart is so great that God can't possibly live in your heart with that love for the world. Well, he won't do it. So there's no use for a Christian to even try it because it just won't work. Well, Jesus had the same temptation we had that we're having in this old sick society. And when 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 13 said, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So I want you to look at a scripture about the parable of the sower from Jesus Christ's words in Luke, the 4th chapter, where he's speaking here of the preacher going out to sow the seed, which is the word of God. In Luke 4, verse 14, beginning, the sower soweth the word, so said Jesus Christ. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. That means they stumble and they fall away. And these are they which are sown among thorns. Now here's the class of Christians that Jesus Christ is dealing with here, and choking out the word of God, the seed, the word of God sown on thorny ground where thorns came up and choked out the fruit-bearing plant that the word of God produced, and it produced no fruit, and therefore God rejects a barren tree or a barren Christian. You're not accepted. So Jesus said, now the seed that fell among thorns are this. They're they such as hear the word of God, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust. Let me note this particular word. The lust of other things, worldly things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It. That means the word of God becometh unfruitful in your life, and the plant produces no fruit in the Christian. And here we find that Jesus said, here it is, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things will choke the word, and it becomes barren and unfruitful. Now Jesus was pressed with the same type of temptation and tempted in all points like as we are, and here's all the points that you can be tempted in as a Christian. Number one is lust of the flesh. Number two, lust of the eyes. And number three, the pride of life. And Jesus was tempted in all these points, yet without sin, he didn't flunk the test when he was put into this great temptation with old Satan himself, who is a god of this world. In Luke, the 4th chapter, Jesus met the devil after he was tempted for 40 days in the wilderness. Satan concluded the temptation beginning in verse 3. And the devil said unto him, now Jesus had fasted 40 days, and Satan said to the Lord, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he'd overcome on that particular point. Then the devil takes him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. And he was absolutely right, because God has made him prince of this world even before the world was created. And he has that ability and power, and he says, I'll give it to whomsoever I will. And he does it. If you'll worship me, all will be thine. Jesus answered, praise God, he overcame with the word of God the word that was a sword in his mouth. Get behind me, Satan. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now the devil got to quoting scriptures, but he didn't quote it right. He left out a phrase. You know, he's good at that. I listen to preachers on the radio a lot, and man, they'll take them scriptures and they'll quote a little piece of it, and they'll twist it and quote it the way they want it to sound. That don't do you any good. You got to have it less like it's written. It is written.